Lord, we know you're here because we have felt your presence while we were worshiping you. We also know you're here because you said that where two or three were gathered in your name, you'd be in the midst. And so we do acknowledge your holy presence. And we do, as the song says, stand in awe of your presence, Lord. We bow before your holiness. We bow in the face of your sovereignty. And from our hearts, we worship you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you. We want to honor you with our lives, with the words that come forth from our lips, with even the thoughts that go on in our minds. And so we pray that you would take every thought of ours captive, Lord, that you would cast down imaginations that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ, and that you would bring every thought in every one of our hearts and minds into the obedience of the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our thoughts and hearts might be focused on you, and that nothing would distract us, Lord, that nothing would take our attention away, but that we might be wholly yielded to you so that you, by your sweet Spirit, can speak to us and minister to us, and with bands of loving kindness draw us closer to yourself than we've ever been before. And Father, even as Bob just prayed a moment ago, we do ask that you would make us doers of your word, not just hearers. Lord, we don't want to walk away with just an enlightened understanding, an intellectual understanding of your word. We want, much more importantly, to have entered into a deeper fellowship with you because we're practicing what you said. We're actually doing it. God, we pray that tonight you would take us and that you would make us true disciples. Oh, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, anoint your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 34, we are here about 6 months away from the cross. Jesus' earthly ministry was about 3.5 years long. The first year of his ministry is not recorded in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It is only recorded by John, and it's what we sometimes call the year of obscurity because he was ministering away from the crowd in that first year. And then the second 2 years are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, as well as in John. And those are the years when Jesus was surrounded by multitudes of people. Then, after he had ministered for 3 years, his attention shifts away from the multitude towards his disciples, and he begins to concentrate on just those people who are really serious about following him. And it's that group that he's primarily speaking to in the last 6 months leading up to the cross, and we are at the beginning of that period here in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And you'll notice that there it says that when Jesus had called the people unto him, with his disciples also. This was not just his disciples. It wasn't just those 12 that he had selected. But he called the people to himself, as well as his disciples. But notice what he said to them. The Bible says that he said to them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." So you can see that right at the outset of this final six-month period of Jesus' earthly ministry, he is calling to himself disciples. And one of the things that's interesting to me about that is that he addresses the whole multitude. He gives all of them the opportunity to be his disciples if they want to. It says that he called the people to himself as well as his original 12 disciples that he had chosen that were listed for us earlier in the gospel. He called all the people to himself, and then he said, "Whosoever will come after me." In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I'm inviting all of you. You're all welcome to come after me. You can all come after me if you want to, Anyone among you who wants to can come after me. The invitation is universal. It's open to everyone, and so it is today. The Lord is here by His Holy Spirit in this room tonight. We know that because Jesus said that He would send another Comforter, even the Holy Spirit of Truth, who would come alongside of us to help us, who would be with us always, who would never leave us, who would never forsake us. We know that He is here by His Holy Spirit because Jesus said, where two or three were gathered in His name, He would be there in the midst. And obviously, we are more than two or three gathered in the name of Jesus, and therefore we know that Jesus is here. But why is He here? Is He here just because He enjoys hanging out, just because He enjoys fellowship? Why is the Lord here? He's here because He is calling disciples out of this group, and He's inviting every single one of us. Every single individual in this group, there's none that's excluded. He's saying, you are welcome to come. You're welcome to follow me if you want to. Whosoever will, come after me. Whosoever will, that means you. You are a whosoever. There was a gal in the church that I pastored in Colorado, had a little pin that she would wear on her lapel that said, I'm a whosoever. And when people would ask her what it meant, she would quote John 3:16 and then witness to them. You know, the gospel is open to whosoever will. And so it is tonight that the Lord is saying to us who have gathered together in the name of Jesus, He's saying, if you want to. But now that's the question, do you want to? Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? The question is not, is Billy Graham following Jesus? The question is not, is Chuck Smith following Jesus? Is David Hawking following Jesus? Is Tim Hamilton following Jesus? The question is, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? Now, before you answer that question, you need to be very careful to count the cost. Because notice, first of all, where Jesus is going. He says to this crowd, any of you who wants to, you can come and follow me. But in context, He has just before this told them that He is about to go to the cross and suffer and die for our sins. He's just finished telling them that He is about to be rejected of all people and despised and cast out and finally crucified. And then having said that, He turns right around and says, if you want to come with me, you can. Why would you want to come with Him? Why would you want to follow Jesus? Following Jesus means that you'll be despised. Following Jesus means that you'll be mocked. Following Jesus means that you will be rejected by the world. Following Jesus could even mean that you'd be crucified. It may even mean that it will cost you your life. Following Jesus is serious business. Jesus has just told these people, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed and delivered up into the hands of my enemies and crucified and on the third day rise again. Now, if you want to, whosoever among you wants to, you can come and you can follow me. And He's here by His Holy Spirit and He's offering the same invitation today to us because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. He's the Lord God. He does not change. And that call that He issued to those people 2,000 years ago, He's issuing to every single one of you tonight, every single one of us. He's here by His Spirit looking into your heart and looking deep into your soul, looking deep into the very essence of who you are and asking you, if you want to, telling you, if you want to, you can follow me. But what does that mean? Why would I want to follow you, Jesus? You just told me you're going to go be betrayed and mocked and delivered up to be crucified. Well, I don't want that. I don't want to follow you. That was the way most of these people responded. Most of the people who heard Him say this in person did not follow Him. Most of them chose to forsake Him. Most of them chose to turn their backs on Him. Most of them said, hey, wait a minute, we didn't sign up for this. If following you meant miraculous healings, that's one thing. If it meant that you were going to feed us, we didn't have to work anymore, you're going to just take a few loaves and fishes and multiply them and fill us up, well, then we'll follow you. But this crucifixion stuff, I don't know about that. Most of the people turned their backs on Him at this particular point, and you'll see that very rapidly from here on, the crowd thins out. It thins out very quickly until by the time He gets to the cross, there's only a handful, and most of them women, who are sobbing and weeping and following Him still, even to the foot of the cross. But notice that the invitation, nevertheless, is for every single person. You are a whosoever. This implies you. This means you. You can come after him if you want to. No man can stand before the Lord and say, oh, I was never chosen. I didn't have the opportunity. I could not be your disciple. You didn't invite me. Yes, he is. He's inviting you right here, right now, through his word. Whosoever among you wants to, whosoever will, come after me, Jesus said. Do you want to come after him? Why would I want to come after him? It means crucifixion. It means persecution. It means a life of being rejected by others. That's true, it does. But it also means resurrection. It also means forgiveness of all of your sins, and there is no forgiveness anyplace else. It also means joy, which is indescribable and full of glory, which the world will never be able to give you. It also means peace that passes all understanding, that the world can't give and the world can't take away from you. It means the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It means all those things, and there's no other source of love. There's no other source of joy. There's no other source of peace. There's no other place where you can be forgiven and changed and set free by the power of the Holy Spirit except in Jesus Christ. Do you want to come after him? Yes, I do. Oh, wait, coming after him may mean persecution. It may mean suffering. That's okay, because it also means forgiveness. It also means peace that surpasses understanding. It means joy unspeakable and full of glory. It means love shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. It means eternal life. It means that I'm going to live in age-abiding life forever and ever and ever with the Lord. It means that glory is going to open before me in ever-increasing magnitude throughout all eternity. Do I want to follow him? Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Now, we do people a great disservice when all we present to them is the good part. When we say, look, follow Jesus and your sins will be forgiven. Follow Jesus and you'll have joy. Follow Jesus, he'll put love in your heart. He will do all of those things. But following Jesus also means the cross. Whosoever will may follow him if you want to. Do you want to? Do you want to follow Jesus? I do. I really do. I don't care what it costs. I really do. Because I know that there's no other place where I can find joy. I know that there is no other place where I can find peace. I know that there's no other place where I can find love. And I don't want to live without love. I know that the burden of my sins is so great that it will consume me, and that there's no other place that I can find forgiveness except in Jesus Christ. There's no other place that I can be saved except through Jesus Christ. There's no other source of eternal life. I don't care what it costs. I want to follow Jesus. And if you are one of those that wants to follow Jesus, notice that here he tells you must do three things. Number one, he tells you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. If you would come after him, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. That's exactly the opposite of what the world is teaching you to do. The world doesn't say deny yourself. The world says indulge yourself. The world says promote yourself. The world says take care of yourself. The world says look out for yourself. Jesus says deny yourself. The world says preserve yourself at all costs. Jesus said take up your cross. The cross is an emblem of suffering. It's an emblem of death. It was the form of public humiliating execution. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. Oh God, help me to give up self, all my selfish ambitions, all my selfish dreams, all my selfish desires, all my thinking about me, that big capital I that is so important to me that I bow down and worship day by day. God, help me to crucify it. God, take my flesh and put it on the cross. Take my tendency towards sin and nail it to the cross. Oh, God, take that fleshly nature of mine, that old self, and crucify it with you, that I might enjoy the things that you enjoy and that I might hate the things that you hate. That you might transform my heart, that you might transform my mind, that I might live my life for you and for others and not for me. that my focus might be on God, and that my focus therefore might be on the needs that He shows me in other people's lives, not on myself. God, help me to wake up in the morning and say, Lord God, I want to be Your disciple today. I want to follow You today. I want to die to self today. Take me, Lord, today and crucify my flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. God, cause everything that is in me that is of self to die out and give me opportunities to lovingly give away who I am in service and in ministry to other people. I want to deny myself. I want to take up my cross. I want to follow You. What does it mean to follow Him? It means to imitate Him, to act like He acts, to do what He would do, to respond the way He would respond. Do you find yourself responding to others the way Jesus responds to you? Do you find yourself ministering to others the way Jesus ministers to you? Search the Scriptures, study the Gospels, look at the life of Jesus Christ, imitate Him in your daily actions. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. That's step one, Jesus says. If you really want to come after Me, you're all welcome to. None of you are left out. I'm not excluding any of you. You can all come, all of you that want to, but first, if you're going to, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Notice that Jesus then, in verse 35, says, "For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." The first thing that you must do if you want to be a disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ, is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. The second thing that you must do is to lose your life for His sake. To lose your life for the sake of the gospel. Now, there, of course, have been many of our brothers and sisters who have literally, physically lost their lives for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel, and some of you may be presented with that glorious opportunity, but chances are most of us won't be. Still, all of us are called to lose our lives for His sake, not necessarily in the literal physical sense, but to lose ourselves in service to Him, to lose ourselves in serving Him, to spend ourselves for Jesus' sake, to pour ourselves out for the sake of the cross. Jesus says, you want to come after Me, then spend yourself for Me. Give yourself up to Me. Yield your whole life to Me, 110% for Jesus, laying your life on the altar that He might consume you with the fire of His Holy Spirit, that you might be empowered by His Holy Spirit, that your whole life might be to love Him and to serve Him, that you with the Apostle Paul might be able to honestly say, in Him I live and move and have my being. He's all of life to me. I think about Him when I wake up in the morning. He's the reason that I go through the day. I fall asleep in His arms at night. I dream about Him when I'm asleep. I am all consumed with Jesus. My one desire is to know Him and to serve Him and to love Him and to be spent for Him, to be poured out like water, in order that He might be glorified. I want to be lost in service for Jesus. You all know what the phrase lost in thought means. You've all come across someone who didn't hear you when you spoke to them because they were so absorbed in what they were doing that they didn't even know you were there. I had a whole conversation with my wife this morning, and at the end of it, she looked up from what she was doing and said, "Uh-huh." She didn't hear a word I said. She was absorbed in what she was doing. We are to be absorbed in Jesus all the time, lost in Jesus' thought, lost in prayer, lost in the study of God's Word. How many times when you pray are you just lost in prayer? You don't even know what time it is. You're not even keeping track of what's going on. And, you know, after a while, somebody taps you on the shoulder and hours have flown by. You didn't even know it. When was the last time you were lost in the study of God's Word, where you were just digging in and drinking in the things of the Scripture and studying and comparing Scripture with Scripture, and you're so excited and you're just lost in it? It's your whole world, you see. Or lost in serving God, lost in ministering to others, just caught up in the things of the Spirit and the things of God. You're about the Master's business. You're expending yourself for the glory of God. That's the second thing Jesus says you must do if you're going to come after Him. Number one, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me. Number two, spend yourself out for the glory of the kingdom. But there's a third thing that we must do. Jesus first, though, asked the question, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Good question. What would it profit a man if he could gain the entire world but lose his own soul? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? That would be foolish for a man to trade that which is temporary for that which is eternal. That would be nonsensical. And yet all around you, you find people who are trading away their eternal salvation for far less than the whole world. I've never met anybody who owns the whole world, but I've met people that owned a couple $1 million and have traded that for salvation, who would rather have their $1 million than they would have Jesus. I've met people that would rather have a sexual experience than have Jesus. I've met people that would rather have a relationship with another person of the opposite sex than, or of the same sex for that matter, than have Jesus. I've met people that would rather take another drink out of that bottle or pop another pill out of that, you know, snort another line up their nose than have Jesus. What would it profit a man if he were able to gain the entire world and yet sacrifice his own soul? How stupid that would be. How stupid that would be. Look at Moses, for example. The Bible says that Moses was willing to give up everything that Egypt had to offer. Egypt at that time was the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and he was raised as royalty in the palace of Egypt. He had wealth, he had prestige, he had everything that the world can possibly offer you, but he gave it up, the Bible says, willingly, willing instead to be persecuted with God's people. Now, if you were to call Moses before you today, suppose we could bring him back. "Moses, do you think your trade was worth it? You gave up everything the world had to offer, and you wandered around in the wilderness, and you suffered with these people, and it was hot and miserable, and there were trials and tribulations. Was it worth it?" "Oh, man, you bet it was worth it. For the last 3,500 years, he's been with Jesus. Loving him, filled with his glory. Oh, man, you bet it was worth it. If you were to trade everything in life for Jesus, it would be worth it." What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Ask yourself that question. What are you willing to give up in exchange for eternal life? What's more important to you than eternal life? A girl? A guy? Some drugs? Some booze in a bottle? Prestige? Money? What's more important to you than eternal life? Anything? I hope not. If there is, get it out of your life. Repent of it and give it up. Let it go, because it's not worth it, because the most you can have is just for a short period now, and then it's all over. It's all going to burn up. You're going to step out of this life one day, probably pretty soon, and then you're faced eternity. You know, someone said the only two things that are inevitable are death and taxes. I got news for them. You don't have to pay taxes. You don't. You'll probably go to jail, but you don't have to pay taxes. It's your choice. But you do have to die. The statistics on death are amazing. One out of one people dies. And one out of one people, after he dies, stands before the judgment. What would you give up in exchange for your soul? "Whosoever therefore," verse 38, "shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus is calling the whole crowd to himself, calling all of us to himself tonight. And to every single one of us, he says, if you want to, he knows you by name. He's calling you by name. He's knocking, as Revelation 3:20 says, on the door of your heart. And he's saying to you as an individual, if you want to, you can be my disciple. You can come after me. Coming after me may mean persecution. I'm going to the cross. It may mean crucifixion. It may mean suffering, but on the other side of the cross, it means resurrection. It means forgiveness of all your sins. It means peace that surpasses understanding. It means joy unspeakable and full of glory. It means the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit is given unto you. It means the presence and power of the Holy Spirit for time and eternity. It means eternal life. Do you want to follow me? Jesus is asking. And if your answer is yes, he says three things you must do. Number one, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Number two, spend yourself out. Lose yourself in loving me, in reading my word, Jesus said, in following after me, in serving me. Lose yourself for the gospel's sake. Number three, if you would follow Jesus, be bold, be courageous, do not be ashamed of him or of his gospel. Be bold, be courageous. Don't worry about being a fool, because after all, you've been a fool for a lot of things that are less than God in your life, haven't you? I've been a fool for so many things. There's been so many things, so many times, when I look back at my life, that I made an idiot out of myself. You know, I look back to my teenage years, and I think of other times I made an absolute idiot out of myself for some girl, you know. Some girl that now I don't even remember her name. I can't barely remember what they look like, you know. But I made an idiot out of myself for some stupid relationship, you know. Made a fool out of myself to impress my friends, you know. Hey, watch, I can drink more beer than you can. Watch how I can stumble and fall down and throw up, you know. Making an idiot out of yourself just to impress some clods. And I don't even remember their names either. What's wrong with being a fool for Jesus? What's wrong with being bold for Christ? What's wrong with being courageous for Jesus? What's wrong with standing up and saying, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's wrong with standing up and saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Oh, the world says, you're just foolish. You're just empty-headed fundamentalists, closed-minded, small little people who don't understand the intellectual heights to which we have achieved, you know. Those people, I'll tell you, they're so open-minded their brains have fallen out. It's not fun to be called stupid. It's not fun to be looked down upon. It's not fun for people to think, you're a what? You're a believer in who? Oh, come on. That's so old-fashioned. That's not fun, but it's worth it. Yeah. To stand up for Jesus and say, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's the truth. It's the only way. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. Through this word, you can have eternal life. This is the only way that you can have forgiveness of sin. Oh, sin. We don't believe in sin anymore. Well, believe in it or not, it's there, and you feel its effects every single day, and you know you're in bondage if you're honest with yourself. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that can set you free. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my Lord. He died publicly for me. I'll stand up publicly for him. Will you follow him tonight? Will you be a doer of the word, not just a hearer? Will you? Will you? Will you? This is an individual question. Will you follow him? Oh, Lord, it means suffering. Oh, God, it means a cross. Yes, but on the other side, it means forgiveness and glory and magnificence, grace and freedom forever. Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. All right, first deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Lord, help me to deny myself. Help me to pick up my cross. Help me to follow you, to imitate you, to die to self and to serve others and seek to minister to others, not to be ministered to. Help me, Lord, secondly, to spend my life for You, to lose myself in Your Word, to lose myself in prayer and in meditation of Your Word and study of Your Word, to lose myself in service towards others, to lose myself in fellowship with You and with other people, to just be a lost and spent for the glory of God. And thirdly, Lord, help me to be bold, to be courageous, to stand up for You, and to publicly and boldly and courageously proclaim that I'm not ashamed of You and I'm not ashamed of Your gospel. God, help us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Now, I want to invite you, please, to join me in prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'd like to ask that no one be moving around the room or looking around the room during these last couple of moments. And the reason that I ask that is very simple. It's just because we don't want to distract anyone and we don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm only going to keep you just another minute or two, then we'll go right into the worship, the afterglow. So if we would all just close our eyes and bow our heads. And the second reason I ask you to do that is so that you can concentrate on yourself. With your eyes closed, don't concentrate on people around you. Just, do you want to follow Jesus? If your answer is yes, then tell Him so right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I don't care what the cost is. I don't care what the price is. I want to follow You because, Lord, You're the only source of joy. You're the only source of peace. You're the only source of love. You're the only source of forgiveness. And You're the only source of eternal life. Lord, I want to follow You. I want to be Your disciple. If you prayed that prayer, then Jesus is speaking to you, saying, now you must do three things. First, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Secondly, Jesus says, lose your life, spend your life out for My glory. Thirdly, Jesus says, don't be ashamed of Me. If you prayed that prayer with me, then open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, grant that I might be a doer of Your Word, not just a hearer. Lord, help me to deny myself. Forgive me for being self-indulgent, for being selfish and self-centered, egotistical. Help me, Lord, to deny myself, to die to self, and to follow You. Cause me, Lord, to be spent for Your glory, to be lost in the study of Your Word, to be lost in prayer, to be lost in fellowship and worship and service and love, to be so consumed with You that we, like the Apostle Paul, could say, sincerely, in Him we live and move and have our being. Be all of life to us, Lord. And God, thirdly, give us courage. Give us the boldness to stand up to this lost, adulterous, and sinful world and say we believe in Jesus Christ and in the power of His gospel. If that's your commitment to Jesus, if you prayed that prayer with me, if it is your desire to follow Him, if you said, yes, I want to follow Jesus, yes, I want to die to self and pick up my cross and follow Him, I want to be spent out in love and in service and in prayer and worship, absorbed totally with Him, yes, I want to be bold and courageous and not ashamed. If that's your prayer, then I want to invite you tonight to say so publicly, to say so courageously, to stand up in front of others and say, yes, I've decided to follow Jesus. If that's your desire, just would you stand just right where you are right now? Just stand up. The old hymn says, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high as royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his name be ever praised. Let courage rise with danger. Let strength to strength oppose. Father, I pray for all of those that are standing that you would bless them by the power of your Spirit and that you would cause the commitment that we have made to you, Lord, this night to be embedded deeply within our hearts that it might change our lives, that from this night onward we might every day die to self, every day pick up our crosses, every day follow you, imitate you, that we might be lost and absorbed, Lord, with loving you, knowing you, serving you, and that we might courageously and boldly proclaim that we're not ashamed of you or your gospel. Lord God, work that in our hearts, oh God. You know our weaknesses. You know we can't do this on our own. So by the power of your Spirit, Lord, come upon us. Let your Spirit anoint us right now, Lord, as we stand in your presence and empower us to be what you want us to be, that we might follow you to right to the cross and out beyond the cross into the resurrection, Lord. Work this work within our hearts, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Just open your heart up now and commit your life fully to Jesus. Thank you, Lord.